Please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Our subject this morning, as we continue our study of this book, the book of Exodus, and the subject is the sacred token of God's love. The sacred token of God's love. And my text is at verse 13 and 14. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. All believers, those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we do not need any man or anyone to assure us that we are forgiven, that our sins are washed away. We do not need even angels to assure us, if they bring a message from heaven, we are assured that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ simply by the evidences of divine love in the cross. The strongest of all assurance or assurances of safety, assurance that we are truly in the Lord, the assurance of all pledges of favor, the best token of God's grace upon each one of His children that a man can possibly behold is the sprinkled blood of Christ, by which the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood shall be to you for a token. Let us first notice that the blood, which was a token to God's people, was not merely that blood, not any other blood, which had been shed by the sacrifice of all unblemished lamb. The blood which had been taken by the person at the head of the household in his own hand and recognized as shed for him. Then the blood soaked in the hyssop is sprinkled upon the lintel and the doorpost. This blood, the blood that is sprinkled on the lintel and the two side posts, is that blood appropriated as the token. And so what is the spiritual significance of this command? It is by appropriating or use, or rather the appropriating faith that believers must take Christ to be His. We must, in a word, believe in the atonement which Christ has made. For an atonement which is not believed in is no atonement to us at all. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, but he that believes not in Him shall by no means partake of any of the blessings of His death on the cross of Calvary. The sprinkled blood The sprinkled blood alone preserved the houses of the Israelites, and in the same way, it is the blood of the Lord Jesus, accepted, believed in by the believer, relied upon, applied to his or her conscience or consciences, which delivers the Christian believer from death. It is the blood, the shed blood of Christ that deliver us from eternal damnation. This sprinkling, moreover, was done in a very public manner. They stained, the Israelites stained the lintel and the two side posts so that every passerby might see it and must see it. And so salvation is premised not to believing alone, but to confession with the mouth. The Apostle Paul says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:10. If we believe in Christ, we must not be ashamed of Him. Shame about faith would argue insincerity of faith. True saving faith in the Lord Jesus is so powerful a principle of our lives as believers that it must be seen. Whether we publish it or not, we must be willing that it should be seen. Yes, this should be the most visible point in our lives. Our glory, our delight, that we do indeed believe in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go into the text proper. And I want to focus on that part of the verse. The blood shall be to you a token, and there are five aspects of this token. First, it is a distinctive token. Second, it is an assuring token. Third, it is a significant token. And fourth, it is a love token. Fifth, it is a recognition token. Let us consider the first aspect, a distinctive token. The blood shall be to you for a token. It can be seen, as I said, where the Israelites dwell. For the blood is not inside the house. The blood was on or sprinkled, splashed on the doorpost, and that marked out that household. Whereas the blood was not on the doorpost of the Egyptians. So likewise, what truly distinguishes Christian from the non-believer is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the blood is not believed in or prized or valued, they have that Christianity. For the blood of it is for the life thereof. Genesis 9:4 and Leviticus 17 verse 14. A bloodless gospel is a lifeless gospel. I repeat, a bloodless gospel is a lifeless gospel. If the atonement be denied or thrown away or cast out or put into secondary place or obscure in that portion, the life has gone out of faith, which is professed. But those in union with Christ bear this distinguishing token, the mark of the blood. Christianity, my friends, in many respects is a very singular one thing. One open to the world of objection and ridicule from the carnal mind, from those who object and oppress, object the gospel and object and oppress the believers. One which always has been criticized and always will be. For we believe, first, that our sin deserves death. We do not believe transgression to be a trifle. And how often Christians treat sin very lightly, and many believers mistakenly treat sin as a sickness that can be cured by any other way. It is not of that, but we know that transgression, sin against God, is no trifle. It is to be a capital offense, deserving the death penalty. When the Lord Jesus says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ezekiel 18 verse 20. And therefore, our conscience, when we hear that word from the Lord, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," and our conscience respond, "Amen," to the sentence of the Most High God. The blood on the doorpost meant that those who live in it, that house, there, they confess that they deserve to die as much as others, and would have done so had it not been for the Paschal Lamb. The crimson mark was virtually a confession of one deserved of death. So every believer, every true believer, feels that his or her sin is great, very grievous in the sight of God, terrible and overwhelming. He does not subscribe. A true believer does not subscribe to theories which make little or light of man's guilt or man's sin. He does not join with those who try to mitigate the penalty and endeavor to make the guilty appear small. He does not call sin a mistake. He does not call sin a failure. He does not call sin a lapse. He does not call sin a sickness. Our God is just, and He takes vengeance on iniquity. The God who smote all the firstborn of Egypt and overthrew Pharaoh in the Red Sea is the same God whom we believers adore. And as we bow before Him, we admit that He might righteously have smitten us also and have utterly destroyed us if not for His mercy upon His chosen people. For the true believers, the blood mark is virtually an acknowledgement that we have the sentence of death in ourselves, and we dare not trust ourselves or in ourselves. The blood upon the lintel furthermore says this: someone has died here instead of us, instead of me. We also hold and rest in this truth that the Lord Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. We believe that He, the Lord Jesus, was made a curse for us. As it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Galatians 3:13. We stand to the literal substitution of Jesus Christ in the place of His people. His real endurance of suffering and death in our stead. And from this distinct and definite ground, we, the believers, will be steadfast. But we believe more than that. We believe that we die in Jesus. The Lamb has died instead of the firstborn, and virtually the firstborn is dead. So when Jesus died, His chosen people died in Him, and their sins received the vengeance due in that day when on the accursed tree Jesus yielded His life, a ransom for His chosen people. If you are a believer, you are dead in Christ already and have been buried in Him or with Him by virtue of your union with Him, the blessed Lord Jesus. And this is the most precious and important truth. And those who hold to it are thereby distinguished from the rest of the people of the world. Believing this then, brethren, those of us who believe, who have the mark of the blood of Christ, we are saved. For when the Israelite has struck the blood upon the doorpost of his house, he went in to mourn? No. He went in to feast. He went into the house to eat the lamb whose blood has been sprinkled and to stand at the table together with his family members, with their loins girt about, expecting not to die. No more. Why? Because the blood is on the doorpost. And they can go forth to the land, to the celestial city which the Lord will give to them. And this is the distinctive mark of a Christian, that he knows himself or herself to be saved. And therefore he keeps the feast. Not mourning, as I said. He keeps the feast rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the fact that the penalty is paid. The blood is shed for the remission of his sin. And therefore, as Christian, we also, like the Israelites of old, we stand with our loins girded, expecting soon, and it is coming, to be called away to that land, the new heaven and the new earth, which the Lord Jesus has prepared for us and given to us, that we may inherit and dwell therein forever. So, my dear friends and brethren, are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? The second aspect of this token, it is an assuring token. It is an assuring token. God gave to the people, or rather God gave to his people, the blood of sprinkling as the token that he would preserve them safely. And surely the more the Israelite studied that token, the more at ease, the more at rest they would be. For he would say, God has appointed this lamb unblemished to be in my stead. And seeing that he appointed it, the lamb has been slain, we are sure God will not turn back or run back from the substitution which he has himself ordained, and we are perfectly safe in the arms of Jesus. Now, for those of us in Christ, this is indeed a most assuring token to our consciences. Observe carefully here that it was not merely the Lamb, but it was the Lamb of God. And that is to say, when the Israelite killed the lamb, he was doing what God commanded him to do. And when Jesus died in our place, he did not die as an ordinary savior, but as one appointed by God the Father. Now, if God appointed the atonement, God must accept it. And surely, if he said that Christ should die in our stead, and if he had laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, then the atonement must be accepted, since God himself set it forth. Since God himself provided the lamb. Since God himself ordained it. Therefore, how assuredly you and I who are in Christ can rest in this token. It is one of the sweetest parts of the whole matter of atonement. and fills the token with assurance. The shed blood of Christ is the faithful assurance of the security of all true Christian believers. I repeat, the shed blood of Christ is the faithful assurance of the security of all the saints of God. The third aspect of this token, it is a significant token. Why significant? As you know, tokens generally mean something. For the believers, our token of the blood has great significance. When the Jews struck the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, it means what? He meant redemption. It signifies that he is redeemed by the blood. The people who live in that house are free, set free, and they are going out of Egypt tomorrow, as the Lord commanded them. And that is just what the blood of Jesus meant to us, the believers, as it meant to the Israelites. We are bought and paid for, and therefore we are a free people. If the Son has made us free, we are free indeed. Jesus' blood has brought us out of the house of bondage, from the misery of sin, out of that iron furnace, and broken all our chains. The sprinkled blood declares that we are a free people. Next, the blood meant that the people who live beneath that blood, they belong to Christ. They belong to God. It was the mark of the Lord's property. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. He who redeemed us ought to possess us. He has every right to possess us because he is not only our creator, but our redeemer. We are the Lord's property. The blood, when it bought us, also set us apart to be forever for the use of the Lord. To be forever the property of the redeemer. Therefore, brethren, give up every member of your body. Yield, as Paul says, every member of your body to worship the Lord. Yield yourselves as servants unto righteousness because you have been purchased. Soul and body with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The token set forth our redemption and also set us as God's property in Christ. Moreover, this token means acceptance. He who has sprinkled the blood of Christ on him has the mark which render him acceptable before the Lord. The blood mark is the token that we belong to the Lord Jesus, and God does not look at our poor and wretched nature anymore, but when he looks at us, he sees, or he looks at the token of his own Son's blood and accepts us for Jesus' sake. So brethren, again, reflect upon this, think about it. How blessed you are. What surer and more suggestive token could you desire? What more could you ask for? Furthermore, the token means perfect safety. As soon as the blood was on the lintel, those inside the house were perfectly safe, secure. No harm will come upon them. No death anymore. Brethren, there is no shield for a guilty soul like the blood-red shield of the atonement. By this token you may know you shall live and not die. Do you believe it? Like Rahab, if you can recall,
the story or the accounts of Rahab. If you have not read it, I suggest you go and read it in the book of Joshua. Like Rahab, we hang this scarlet line in our window, and when all the Jericho goes down with terrible destruction, our house must stand, for the red line secures it evermore. The fourth characteristic of the token is that the blood is a love token. It is a love token. Remember this, before your birth, before you came into this world, the blood was poured forth, which is today an ensign and a pledge of everlasting love of God. It is a token of intense love. It is not just mere love or simple love. It is an intense love. It is a pledge taken from the heart of Christ. And it denotes a love which wells up from the essence of the Redeemer's being, from Jesus' inmost heart, which was reached by that cruel spear. What a token this is. A sacred token from the inner sanctuary of God's soul, of Jesus' soul, from that Holy of Holies, the heart of Emmanuel, God with us. So therefore, believers, since you have such a token as this, you should be ready to die sooner than doubt or distrust the love of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you. More than that, it is a token of love unlimited. Token of love unlimited. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that we need in this life? Romans 8:32. If you receive the blood of his dear son, what will God refuse you? You who are his blood-bought children, you who have the mark, the blood mark on you, will God give you a serpent or a snake if you ask for bread? Do you think your God will deny you your providential, or deny you his providential mercy, when he has already given you the bleeding heart of Jesus to redeem you? Think of it, brethren, think of it. Remember, do not be quick to conclude when you pray and it seems that God is far from you, and it seems that he has or not interested in your petition and your prayer. Remember, if you have truly the blood mark of Christ on you, can he refuse you? Not possible. Do you imagine that he will leave you without bread, without water, without garments to put on to cover your backs, when he has yielded up the jewels, the heart of his soul, the delight of his heart to you? Therefore, those of you who are in Christ, prize and value that token of God's love, and look at it, meditate upon it, think about it, until your soul cry out with joy and thanksgiving that what a Savior you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord said, the blood shall be to you for a token. Fifthly, and the last, it is a recognition token. Why recognition token? Because if you have that token, that blood mark on you, first of all, the angels know who you are. The angels know that you are one of the heirs of salvation to whom they minister. As soon as the angels see the blood applied to the soul by faith, they recognize it as a sure sign of repentance. All God's children have this unmistakable family mark at their birth. See that? The devil, beside the angel, the devil also know that mark. And as soon as he sees that blood mark of Christ on you, you are a marked man, a marked woman, a marked boy and girl. Why? Because you can be assured he will immediately begin his assault on you, to attack you. And in seeking all sorts of ways to tempt you and to destroy you. He knows the mark of the seed of the woman, and so he rages in anger. But at the same time, when he sees the blood mark on you, he trembles. Why? For he knows. Satan, the evil one, knows that every blood bought children of God, he has no way prevail. He cannot prevail and destroy them because the mark of the blood is on the believer. And brethren, this blood mark, beside the angels know it, beside Satan, the evil one knows it, the fellow believers, the saints among you, and they know you. For they have a wonderful power, for this blood mark has a wonderful power in the family of God, in the community of believers. This blood mark has a very powerful effect for creating and fostering mutual love among true believers. Have you experienced that before? Have you tasted of that true Christian fellowship when you meet someone whom you have not, you do not know, you have not met before, but when you come together perhaps for a meeting, or perhaps when you go for a Christian conference and then you meet with other Christians from other parts of the world, there is this akin fellowship. There is this recognition that we are all bought by the blood of Christ and we are in the same family. As the sweet honey bearing flowers attract the bees, so does the name of the Lord Jesus draws all the saints, draw all the fellow believers together to enjoy that true Christian fellowship and communion. And best of all, angels know, Satan's know, fellow Christians know, Christ know. Best of all, the Lord Jesus knows this blood token also. When we go to the mercy seat, when we come before Him, the throne of grace, to petitions, and if we desire to win the ear of Christ, of God, to hear our prayers, we must produce that sacred token of the precious blood. And with that blood mark, it is impossible to fail. It is impossible for God's children who has the mark, the blood mark of Christ on them, to come before the mercy seat, to come before the throne of God, to petition and God refused. No, impossible. God will answer those petitions for the sake of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends and brethren, do you truly I ask once again, have the blood of Jesus Christ for a token. If not, I urge you, plead for the blood of the Lamb to be sprinkled upon the doorposts of your heart now, and say to the Lord Jesus, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Your precious blood has shed for me, and I trust in you alone. And if you so believe, my friends, you are saved. And then, with the blood mark of Christ upon you now, go your way rejoicing. No man, no woman, no boy or girl ever perish. Who, from your heart, rested in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be merciful to you and bless you. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee and we praise Thee and we bless Thee for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled upon our hearts, those of us who are in union with Thee. O Lord, we indeed praise and thank Thee for Thy shed blood on the cross of Calvary, for the remission of our sin. Indeed, Lord, we are a people set free, free from the bondage of sin, free from the guilt of sin. O Heavenly Father, we pray that as you have graciously given us a new week, we ask that you will grant us your strength, your wisdom, your grace, and the enabling of your Holy Spirit, that we may constantly remember that we are a blood-bought people, chosen out of before the foundation of the world. And so we pray that you will help us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. So help us. In Jesus' name. Amen.